بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, in last night's Taraweeh Salah we commenced with the third surah, Surah Al Imran, which we subsequently completed in tonight's Taraweeh. Quite a lengthy surah, and this surah primarily deals with the Ahl Kitab, and particularly the Christians, the Nasara. And various answers have been given to their false beliefs, their false ideology. In fact, Mufassirin say that just the name of the surah itself is already a response to the Christians with regard to their false belief that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of God. And how is the name of the surah a response? This surah is called Alu Imran. Al in Arabic means family. The family of Imran. Imran was the maternal grandfather of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the nana of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the father of Maryam radiyallahu anha. So by naming the surah Alu Imran after Imran, the information is being given to the Christians, to the Nasara, that you acknowledge the lineage of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, you acknowledge that he has a maternal grandfather, his mother was Maryam, her father was Imran. If you acknowledge this point, that he has a grandfather, a maternal grandfather, and you claim that Allah is his father, Allah is the father of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, then by extension this would mean that Imran is the father-in-law of Allah. Imran is the father-in-law of Allah. And therefore Allah or God or Ilah has to respect and show reverence and obedience to Imran, whereas Imran is a normal human being. So if you acknowledge and accept the lineage of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he has a mother, he has a maternal grandfather, then it is not possible that Allah is his father. Rather, he was created miraculously. So this is the first response to the Christians. And thereafter, moving on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the birth of Maryam radiallahu anha, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. إِذْ قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. Allah speaks about the dua that was made by the mother of Maryam radiallahu anha. Allah says that go back to that time when the wife of Imran said, O my Rabb, indeed I have made a vow, a pledge, that that child that is within my womb has now been freed for the sake of your deen. She was at an advanced age. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her as she fell pregnant, and thinking that she is going to give birth to a male child, she then takes this vow that this child will be free for your deen, he'll be a mujahid, he will strive in your path, and I will not put any restrictions upon him, and his entire life has been sacrificed for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the mother of Maryam radiallahu anha said. And then, فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا, when she gives birth to the child, قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. In surprise, she exclaims that, oh my Rabb, I have given birth to a female child. This is a girl that I have given birth to. And I thought I was carrying a boy, and I had taken the vow that he will be sent in the path of Allah. Wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at. Allah says, Allah knows best, or Allah already knew what she was carrying. Walaysa dhakaruka al-untha. Now Allah says, the male child is not like the female child. Two commentaries that Mufassirin have given. One meaning, the male child is not like the female child, means the male that she was expecting, that she was hoping for, would have been very different to the female that she gave birth to. And hence, this female, her life, would not be possible that she would now become a mujahid and strive in the path of Allah. So whatever vow, whatever intention, whatever objectives the mother of Maryam had for her child, this will now not be able to be fulfilled in the female child. And in this is a subtle indication that Sharia very distinctly recognizes the difference of genders. The male gender and the female gender are not alike in any way whatsoever. Each gender has their own role to play. Yes, as far as a'mal are concerned, later on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how he will accept a'mal from males and females. The salah of a male, salah of a female, both will be rewarded equally. But we know the salah is performed differently. The male has to come to the masjid, the female reads salah at home. Likewise, when it comes to various other financial responsibilities, there is a great difference between the male and female. The genders are definitely in Sharia in Islam not equal as far as the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as far as their responsibilities and obligations in this world are concerned. Yes, as far as reward, as far as earning the pleasure of Allah, earning Jannat, earning closeness to Allah, then regardless of gender, both male and female can make an effort and attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one tafsir, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The male is not like the female. And the second tafsir Mufassirin have mentioned is that the male that she thought she was going to give birth to, that would now be set forth in the path of Allah, could not have matched this female that she gave birth to. In other words, this female surpassed the male child she thought she would give birth to, because this female became the mother of the Nabi of the time. And again, Mufassirin have written that the honor of a woman is not in the public domain, but the honor of a woman is in creating the next generation of those who will sacrifice their lives for the sake of Allah, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The honor of the mother of Maryam was in this, that she created, or she gave birth to Maryam radiallahu anha, and Maryam radiallahu anha then gave birth to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Their honor was found and realized through Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was the birth of Maryam radiallahu anha. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a delegation that had come to Madina Munawwara, that had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This had taken place in the 9th year after Hijrah. We know in the 8th year, the conquest of Makkah took place. And because of this, Islam began to spread very rapidly. And the 9th year, the year after the conquest of Makkah, was known as Amul Wufud, the year of delegations, where different delegations from the Arabian Peninsula came to Madina Munawwara. Many of them came to inquire about Islam and to accept Islam at the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This particular delegation is known as the Wafd, the delegation of Najran. Najran was a place in Yemen. It was a very large area, almost a province, so to say. And it comprised of approximately 73 localities or districts, primarily Christian in belief, in faith. So they prepared a delegation to come to Madina Munawwara, 60 men, 60 horsemen, 14 of whom were prominent leaders in the community. Their leader was a person by the name of Abdul Masih, and he had with him his trusted minister and advisor, whose name was Ayham. And with them, they had the chief priest of the time, Abu Haritha bin Alqama. He was a very proud and arrogant person, and he would always claim superiority because of his knowledge of the deen of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a very staunch Christian. Nevertheless, this delegation of 60 men come to Madina Munawwara, and they reach round about the time for Salatul Asr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam welcomes them, receives them, and then he proceeds to perform Salatul Asr. Sahaba radiallahu anhum join him. And then this delegation asks permission, can we also pray on our own? So at first, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were reluctant. They were not happy to allow them to pray. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, seeing as he had not yet invited them to Islam, he gives them a chance, he allows them to pray. They turn in the opposite direction, and they read their prayer, whatever it was. And then they begin a conversation, discussion with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And here, this conversation showcases the intellect, the intelligence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He addresses them and he says, listen, don't you agree that Isa was a person that ate and drank? He had partook of food and he would drink also. He would become hungry and thirsty. They said, yes, definitely, yes indeed. He says, so then how can you claim that he is God or the son of God, whereas a deity is someone who is not dependent upon food and drink? A being that is worthy of worship cannot be dependent on food and drink, cannot be hungry and thirsty. So they had no response to this. Then he says, do you not agree that generally a child will resemble the father in appearance? They said, yes indeed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to them, in that case, how can you claim that Isa is the son of God? That means physically he resembles God. Does God have hands, feet, a face, eyes, nose, ears? Again, they had no response. Like this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam put forth question after question to them, and they had absolutely no response to him. Eventually, he says to them, why don't you accept the deen of Islam? I am the final Nabi. Why don't you accept my religion? When he puts this forth to them, their pride and their arrogance is such that they say to him, listen, we are already upon Islam. Our deen is the deen of Islam. And you are a fake prophet. So at this juncture, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam invites them to perform an act which is called Mubahala. Mubahala, which we'll explain, is when two groups, both are claiming that they are upon haqq, upon the truth. They now come together and they both invoke Allah's curse upon the lying party. So if I am claiming to be on the truth, then I will raise my hands and make dua that may Allah's curse fall upon the liar between the two of us. And the opposition who is claiming to be on the truth will invoke the same curse. And then whoever was upon haqq would be saved, and Allah's punishment would come upon that group that was lying, that was upon falsehood. And this was a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which was in vogue, in practice at that time. The Christian delegation knew that if they engaged in this mubahara, definitely they would lose and they would be destroyed. Nevertheless, they say to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, no problem, we will engage in the mubahara tomorrow. The next day, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes forward at the appointed place where they had agreed to meet. And with him he has Ali radiallahu anhu, Fatima radiallahu anha, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. It is mentioned the nur that was shining on their faces and the appearance of this Ahlul Bayt, family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as they came into the arena with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the entire Christian delegation turned back. And they began making mashwara amongst themselves, how do we go forward with this mubahara? The Abu Haritha bin Alqama, the chief priest, he says to the leader, Abdul Masih, listen, definitely if we're going to go forward, every one of us will be destroyed. Let's make some excuse and let's return to Najran. Saying this, they make an excuse and they go back to Najran. And this signals the victory of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We'll terminate on this. When this delegation reaches Najran, Abu Haritha bin Alqama, the chief priest, was on a camel. And as he entered Najran, his camel stumbled on something and he fell off and he was injured. So his cousin, Kurz bin Alqama, when he sees Abu Haritha fall to the ground, he curses Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, may curse be upon that man that you went to visit. It is his evil omen that has caused you to fall down. Abu Haritha immediately stops his cousin. He says, oh Kurz, don't say this because he is a true Nabi. So Kurz says to him that, oh my cousin, why didn't you accept Islam? If you're saying he's a true Nabi, you just came from there. Why did you not bring Iman at his hands? He says that I am the chief priest and our leaders have bestowed a great amount of wealth upon me because I pass rulings according to their whims and desires. If I accept Islam, all of these favors, these worldly bounties, they'll take away from me. I'm not prepared to lower my standard of living. I will not accept Islam. Kurz says to him that, listen, you are missing an opportunity. And then he recites some poetry that I am now abandoning this delegation of Christians and I am coming to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes to Medina Munawwara and he brings Iman at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his Iman then becomes the sabab and the cause for many others from that tribe also bringing Iman at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the incident of Mubahala, which is discussed in the last quarter of the third juz, ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ, and the entire incident of the delegation of Najran. There are many, many other lessons throughout the portion that was recited in tonight's Taraweeh. The battle of Badr is spoken about, the battle of Uhud is spoken about. Allah also speaks about the importance of a group remaining upon the propagation of the deen of Islam. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. There should be a group, dedicated group in the ummah, whose duty and obligation is purely the propagation of deen. Alama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah says, this group is the ulama. Through their writings, through their speech, through their travels, through their efforts, they propagate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with that, every single person's responsibility also is to aid and assist in the propagation of the deen of Islam. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil